morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 31 degrees under clear skies. Today is Tuesday, February 18th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. This past Saturday, locals gathered at Harrigan Centennial Hall to celebrate the Chinese New Year. The event was the first of its kind in Sitka and was organized by Summer Mayo. Mayo is originally from Beijing. That's where she met longtime Sitka resident Michael Mayo when he traveled there to learn Tai Chi. Summer has been a part of Sitka and a part of the Mayo family for the last 4 years. She usually heads home to Beijing for the Chinese New Year, but this year, she said, she wanted to share her traditions with the community that she has grown to love. Mayo family and friends, dressed in black with red sashes, waited for their musical cue to begin a traditional dragon dance. Michael's son Noah says the point is to make the dragon fly. KCAW's Emily Foreman was there, and she sent this audio postcard.
What are you guys getting ready to do?
Dragon performance?
This is the head, Noah Mayo.
I am Noah. I'm a brother. Yeah, we're doing a dragon dance. Okay. It's a celebration of Chinese New Year's. We got a new member in our addition of our family who's Chinese, and she decided that she would like to represent her culture and put on a little celebration for Chinese New Year. And because we're all suckers in this family, we all got roped into it.
People call me Summer Mayo, okay. And my Chinese name is Xiao Yan Shen.
So, what brought you here originally?
My husband, Michael Mayo. He went to all the way to Beijing to pick me up. I wanted to bring the Chinese New Year to Sitka because the kids and everybody will have lots of fun.
And that was an audio postcard from Sitka's celebration of the Chinese New Year on Saturday. Holding signs saying kids not cuts and vouchers hurt public schools. About 200 people packed the Alaska Capitol steps for a Save Our Schools rally Monday afternoon. The crowd included parents, students, teachers, and community members, as well as a handful of state lawmakers. Juno Douglas High School senior Tori Talley talked about growing up in a low-income, single-parent home before being adopted in the sixth grade. Through it all, she said, school was one of the few places she felt safe. She said teachers bought her school supplies, and the school lunch program and counseling services kept her on track to graduate later this year.
All the teachers knew exactly what my situation was, and they always would stop me in the middle of class, and they'd sit with me and talk to me if I needed it, and they were still there for me. So I've always had an extremely supportive, caring, and motivational support group.
Talley drew loud cheers when she said she plans to go to college to study psychology. Other speakers argued for an increase in state spending on education and against a proposed amendment to Alaska's constitution that would allow public funds to be spent on private and religious schools. The amendment needs two-thirds support from the Alaska legislature before it can appear on the ballot. Governor Sean Parnell and Republican lawmakers are pushing legislation that would put the issue to voters. With 2 months left in the legislative session, Anchorage Senator Berta Gardner, a Democrat, said opponents feel confident the amendment won't make it through.
We believe that they don't have the votes to move that forward. They haven't started knocking heads together, twisting arms, making threats, all kinds of things, and we have to keep the pressure up. We're ahead of the game. The public is absolutely with us, and we will not back down. Thank you.
Amendment supporters say it's needed to provide parents and students more school choice. Anchorage Democratic Representative Harriet Drummond and the Great Alaska Schools Coalition organized the rally. Due to a lengthy floor session, many House members missed the event. Nearly all of the state senators in attendance were Democrats. State officials recently released documents showing how much each legislator spent on travel last year. The totals range from a little more than $1,000 to almost $50,000. Two of the most expensive travelers are from Southeast. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Senator Bert Stedman spent more on legislative travel last year than any other lawmaker. The Sitka Republican spent more than $47,000 for airfare, lodging, car rentals, meals, and other costs. That's about a third more than the previous year.
I've never been number one before.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
About 40% of Stedman's charges covered meetings and trainings for the Energy Council, which he chaired for most of the year. The organization includes lawmakers from energy-producing states and provinces, as well as Venezuela. Members meet quarterly, and Stedman attended additional events.
So it is important that we get outside and educate ourselves on how the industry works and how to structure policies to keep them competitive in a global environment.
In all, 20 of Alaska's 60 lawmakers attended at least one Energy Council meeting. A lot of Stedman's other reimbursed travel covered trips to most of the 27 communities in his district. It runs from Metlakatla to Haines.
So you should see rural legislators really stick out. I'm not talking about out-of-state travel, but in-state, just because we've got to get around.
Some other lawmakers with big districts also racked up large travel bills, but most high spenders were in leadership posts. The state paid almost $1 million last year for all 60 legislators' travel. That's up about 50% from 2012. Another Southeast representative, Peggy Wilson, was eighth on the travel expense list. The Wrangell Republican spent more than $35,000 during 2013.
Now that we have a 90-day session, we actually have more committee meetings outside of session. And for me to go to a meeting in Anchorage, it takes 3 days for sure, depending on what time of day the meetings are.
Wilson is in her fourth year serving as majority whip, a House leadership position. She says that sent her to in-state organizational meetings and other events. Wilson also traveled to meetings and academies put on by the National Conference of State Legislatures, the Council of State Governments, and the Pacific Northwest Economic Region. That's where close to half her total travel costs went.
Do you ever turn down invitations to attend?
Oh, yes. I could be gone all the time. But, you know, you just can't go to everyone. So you try to pick and choose which ones you think are going to be the most meaningful.
Wilson's 2013 total showed a fivefold increase from the previous year. Southeast's other three sitting lawmakers were in the bottom third of the travel spending list. Juneau Republican Representative Kathy Munoz was 42nd out of 60, with about $7,000 in spending. Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins was 52nd at about $4,500, and Juneau Democratic Senator Dennis Egan was 55th with only $3,300 spent on travel. Former House Minority Caucus Leader Beth Kurtula came in 35th with about $11,000 spent. The Juneau Democrat resigned her post last month to take a job at California Stanford University. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
We have more details of Stedman and Wilson's travel costs posted with this report. You can also read more about lawmaker travel spending through a link posted on our website. And a new trial date has been set for Joe Robidoux, the former principal of Blatchley Middle School, accused of sexually assaulting three teachers. Sitka Superior Court Judge David George on Thursday set Robidoux's trial date for the week of May 12th this year. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Robidoux was scheduled to go on trial the second week of February, but the case was delayed when his attorney appealed a procedural motion to the State Court of Appeals. Robidoux, in January, had asked the Superior Court to dismiss the six indictments against him, but Judge George agreed to dismiss only one. Despite the pending appeal, the parties are moving forward and now are preparing for a trial in May. In addition to appealing Judge George's refusal to dismiss the original indictments, Robidoux's defense is introducing another tactic. On January 15th, Robidoux's attorney, Julie Willoughby, filed a motion asking for permission to depose the three victims of Robidoux's alleged assaults. All three testified before a Sitka grand jury in early 2013, but Willoughby argues that none disclosed to jurors the full extent of their prior physical and sexual relationship with Robidoux. Assistant District Attorney Jean Seaton filed an opposition to Robidoux's request to depose the victims. She wrote, quote, "Victims of sexual assault are not required to provide interviews with the defense," close quote. Seaton went on to cite Article 1, Section 24 of the Alaska Constitution, which provides that victims have the right, quote, to be treated with dignity, respect, and fairness during all phases of the criminal justice process, close quote. Seaton argued that the victims were interviewed on multiple occasions and all interviews were provided to the defense along with their sworn testimony before the grand jury. Joe Robidoux now stands charged with 5 felony counts of sexual assault for alleged encounters with 3 of his female staff members in late 2012 and early 2013. He resigned from the Sitka School District on March 1, 2013, the same day that he was indicted by the grand jury. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's just about 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. To read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. No registration or login is required. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, click on the Twitter link. Have a good morning.